proceed, can we get agreement on the elements we want in the motion, and then see if we can get the wording right to move forward with? Or somebody can, no, let me just stop there. Remember Nelson?
I had a couple of comments, and I'm looking now at the written version of the staff recommendation. We've already decided to establish a board committee on this, and at the last meeting we were talking about a couple of people. I would suggest that we have an odd numbered membership so that we don't have a stalemate, number one, and I don't know if that's three or five or whatever the group wants, but I think first of all we should have, you know, not an even numbered subcommittee. Secondly, there's a bunch of things on here, like all of the bullet points under the first main bullet point that may or may not be clear to everyone. If we're going to have the committee come back and report to us, like the second bullet says, at the August meeting, could we ask this board subcommittee to have a formal working group, some sort of a charter or something like that, that they would actually come back and maybe flesh out some of these so that we can look at more specifics on it? I'm just saying that some of these I don't understand. The last sub-bullet, determine if rule language, board resolution, or other non-rule options would suitably encourage moving toward a LiDAR model, map-based water typing rule as time and resources allow. That's a whole lot of gibberish in my mind. And it would be better to me to have this subcommittee sit down and put this into a format with positive, direct statements presented back to the board instead of that. I'm not being critical. Joe, you're there now, but Mark. But I'm just thinking that might be a better process for us. We'll have good representation on the subcommittee. Come back with a charter, have some sort of a formal, this is what we're going to do, and then we can talk about the timelines a little more effectively, too.
Board Member Spadina.
So I appreciate the request for clarity. I think that's really important. I'm concerned about a process for a charter. Who does that? How long will that take? How long would it take to get this committee set up? I agree with Board Member Nelson on, I think the scope of these bullets is large. And I do wonder why the LiDAR one is in there. I thought that there was a study going on to look at whether or not LiDAR can be, whether the improvement in LiDAR could be used to move forward. I don't know why we're having to determine that by board subcommittee right now. And I'm a little concerned based on the way Mark Engel described this. And I want to be clear that I think we as a board need to move forward. I think trying to get clarity on some or all of these things is a good thing. But I, again, don't want to get caught in, if we get reasonably clear, but there's still someone that says, that's not precise enough, that's not good enough, that that the board still has authority to move forward. I mean, this is a little fuzzy to me about, okay, so we're going to report back on a recommendation, but what are the parameters of that? And I kind of like to get that hammered out now and today instead of like waiting for a big charter. So can you talk a little bit more about why this last bullet point is in here and what resolving that has to do with moving forward with the current water typing rule? Because I'm pretty sure I remember in an earlier iteration of moving this process forward that we already established a process for this, and so why are we talking about it again?
So I can provide some information on all of these, and then if staff want to come up, both Joe and Mark, they may provide some others. This last bullet is in response particularly to the small horse landowners. Yes, we have a project looking at a LiDAR-based model. And however, the issue that my staff has been experiencing as we work on language, rule language, is that even though we have this process going on in a parallel forum, there are members of the public that would like to see that recognized in rule language. And we haven't, so far, we haven't put that into the rule. So that's an issue, an unresolved issue. Same thing, you know, we heard a lot of testimony around the cost of the validation study and whether that's gonna screw up the priorities for the adaptive management studies. And there was a comment at the last meeting that suggested it could be combined with the physical issue, which is also a small forest landowner issue. And so, you know, getting a recommendation on where we should go on that. I think the bullet above that is just about, okay, is 18 points enough to adopt an e-sign rule? And then one above that is just something that we all are going to have to struggle with anyway, you know, once we get closer to rulemaking, is can we get to a point where we can narrow down these options at some point? Maybe it's not now, but at some point. And the first one was really about width. There was testimony at the last meeting saying the reasons there's differences between some of the analyses is around the width characteristic and how it is used or analyzed in some analyses and not others. So these were attempts by staff to address some of the comments that were made both by board members and the public at the last meeting. And if you want to be more succinct and direct, that's more open. There is no pride in authorship here, like staff.
May I follow up? So this first one, so part of it's timing. So if this first one can get resolved relatively quickly, and that seems to be an important input to make sure that there's confidence in the cost-benefit analysis and then being able to move forward with SEPA. And so as I'm thinking about this, one of my concerns is if we mix all of these things together, have a committee talk about a bunch of stuff, not make a recommendation, a final recommendation until November, and not be able to move ahead with the key analyses that are needed to do rulemaking, that's adding unnecessary time to the process. So if there's a way to identify, so this one in particular would allow the first bullet, understanding the spatial analysis and work to resolve whether width can be precisely estimated for the purposes of the environmental analysis. If we can specify that this one gets worked on first, to the point of resolution as quickly as possible, and then staff, once that's resolved, staff can continue on working on these two analyses that are needed. And even my understanding of the three alternatives that we asked staff to analyze in all this environmental and economic documentation was to help us determine whether or not there are fewer PHB options. So it's a little bit like we're putting the cart before the horse. And I would, you know, the whole point of those analyses is to help the board and the public make a decision about rules. And rather than deciding on one option, whenever that meeting was, that we made a motion on what these things were going to look like. I mean, I think we tried, and we couldn't get there. And so we sent staff down this path to do a bunch of analyses that are formal, that are required under decision-making for us to file CR 102. And it, you know, it feels like we're stuck in having to make decisions, or we're stuck, like Mr. Brown indicated, in the ether there's discussion that people aren't happy with how this is coming out, but as decision makers, as board members, we need that information to be able to see. And so finishing the analyses with data that people have confidence in would help us. And then, I mean, my desire, and I think I've talked to board member Davis about this, would be we get the cost benefit analysis and the CEPA done as quickly as possible. We can get a stakeholder group to answer these questions. We get that done. The board does a full-day workshop on the results. And it that's what answers bullet number two.
So you're suggesting take that one out?
Yes, and prioritize number one in timing, and not wait to November to get a recommendation on it. So staff can move into the analysis.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Board Member Davis.
So maybe doing my best to follow that track, it seems like then bullet number three is also important to that same, for similar reasons, right? Do we have enough data on the east side, or are we really just talking about a west side permanent rule if we don't think we have enough data on the east side? So it seems like one and three are pretty important to like figure out first.
Okay. Who raised this issue about there being inadequate data for Western Washington? Where did that come from?
I don't recall.
Do you guys?
I think that came from our own analysis of the results, the preliminary results that we have from the analyses, and taking a look at the spread in the data and the variation that we have and our ability to discern any kind of meaningful information. I think that's the genesis, Mark. I don't know if you want to add to that.
No, that's accurate. Plus, some of the caucuses have wondered, you know, with that view of the number in Eastern Washington, if that truly represents the entire east side of the state.
Mr. Chair?
Or Member Nelson?
Getting back to my problem with clarity and fuzziness, the first black bullet on there, establish a board committee to facilitate staff and policy caucuses discussions to work to resolve outstanding issues associated with the proposed water typing efforts specifically to, and then we go on. Can't we just say establish a board committee to make recommendations in order to resolve outstanding issues associated? All this to work towards meeting to do the other stuff just bothers me. And again, I think having the board subcommittee with some sort of a work plan that's more specific and more has direct bullets under it would be helpful. So we don't have to go through this line by line, frankly. I mean, not until it comes back as a recommendation.
Board Member Davis.
As a person who oversees a different regulatory program, I'm smiling a little bit up here because I always hear like, hey, we want flexibility and we want predictability. And I feel like that's as, maybe I'm misinterpreting it, but my feelings are we're kind of lumpers and splitters here on the board, which is a strength as long as we understand that it can navigate it successfully. I also am reflecting back to the testimony we heard, the public comments we heard about, hey, board, if you could help the whole system out if you provided more clarity about the expectations. So I don't know where I I fall in that, other than I lean towards the folks in the system are asking us for more clear direction. And so that makes me a little bit nervous, Board Member Nelson, to leave it too loose walking into that when it's not just the board, you know, it's a board committee, but I also heard some kind of congregation around the tribe's proposal of having stakeholders, tribes, and policy participation with the board committee to do that. So I'm a little nervous to just leave it overly broad, and then we're just punting a debate and negotiation that then comes back to the board, and we've lost some time to get there.
My point was that the first sentence, the first bullet, is where we're giving direction to them. And what it really says is that the way it's written is that we're going to facilitate staff so they can work to resolve something. Well, we can meet that test and still not come up with an answer. I think it should say directly, we want you to come up with recommendations to resolve this, and then we'll meditate and discuss those. Not just to work to facilitate in order to resolve something. That, to me, is too fuzzy. We need to say, we want you to, as a group, to get together with these folks, come up with recommendations to resolve these, that we can take some sort of action on. That's all I'm saying.
Remember, Dave, if I interpreted what I just heard you say, I might totally agree with you.
Good.
I feel like what I just heard you say is that the board committee actually will make recommendations back to the board, the full board.
Yes.
And I support that. As a person that might be on this committee, if I am supported by others, I don't want to facilitate. I think we've been doing that from a distance. I don't see that as being viable ground to replow over and over and over. I think we're almost at a place of this committee getting clear understanding of what the complications are and almost playing like the referee that would bring back recommendations to the full board for the full board's consideration.
I agree, and I think that changing that wording would help towards that.
Seems like we've got agreement on that piece. Board Member Sweeney.
So I
continue to lead us.
Continue to be the crunky one. I have a lot of heartburn with the third full bullet on how the issue of the unanimous floor would get processed through policy. So I just want to say from the beginning, I mean, I understand the need to be cautious from a process perspective, but I have to say for the record, I disagree with the assessment that the topic didn't get properly discussed in policy. And I know that I've lost that argument, so I just have to say for the record that I disagree. The way this is structured, it sounds like we would be asking policy to do a bunch of work to essentially flesh out the whole concept of an anadromous floor and try to get policy to agree with the recommendation about what that should be and bring it back to the board. That sounds like too much to me. And it also, you know, based on Tara's testimony or input to us that it would take a long time, it would interrupt other important work that they're doing, and it could take months and months and months to get a recommendation back, and then that stalls out the analysis, it stalls out the amount of time that it would take to file a CR102, because we've heard pretty clearly from tribes, and I think we agree with this, that we don't want to move forward with the FHAM part without the anadromous floor. Mm-hmm. And so this whole idea of coming up with recommendations by November, that becomes really irrelevant if a policy process is going to take us well past November, and it sounded like there's a lot of potential for that to be the case. So I'm going to propose something, and maybe our council or maybe someone who knows the ins and outs of how policy works can tell me this won't work. But I'm wondering if the board can remand to policy the idea that a gradient threshold below which fish presence would be assumed is a topic that was discussed at policy. It was not clearly articulated in the minority and majority report, but policy could take up a very narrow question that indeed that topic was discussed. There wasn't agreement about how to resolve it, but it is important to the implementation of FPAM, where you start looking for your first PHB, and below that where you assume fish presence is something that's debated, that was debated, not something that was agreed upon, and therefore is within the purview of the board and the board process to incorporate into rulemaking. And then the committee that the West Side Tribes proposed would be the one that handles the questions about the precise objective of the anadromous floor, you know, using the tribe's data to help people understand how it lays out on the ground, you know, issues with implementation, all that kind of stuff. And that process is part of this board subcommittee. It just gets folded in. So we have a quick trip through policy to make sure we've crossed our T's and dotted our I's and made sure that, yes, policy says it would take us a long time to figure this out. It's an important part of an unresolved issue about how to implement this, how to implement FHAM, how to implement this entire system. And we remand the topic back to the board, and then the board uses the subcommittee and the process that Jim Peters lined out to hash out the details. Is that even procedurally possible, or do we have to go through this thing that you've laid out?
May I ask a follow-up question, board members? What's the mechanism by which the board receives recommendations from policy under your alternative?
It's a policy recommendation from policy that it is within the board's purview to continue with rulemaking or do rulemaking that includes what we now are calling an anadromous floor, but which is technically a gradient threshold below which fish habitat is assumed.
So board members, I think the thing, in order to go where you're talking about, I think policy would have to clearly say we have no consensus and provide us a minority and majority report on that issue so that it's properly before the board.
Okay, that's fine. And can that be done quickly, or does it have to go through? I mean, do you have to spend a minimum of 5 months on it? Because would you have to invoke a new dispute resolution to do that?
I don't mean to sound flip in saying this, but it depends entirely upon policy and how it deliberates and reaches a conclusion. If it finds consensus quickly, you've got consensus quickly. If it fails to do that, you know, thinking that there's only two ways that policy can bring recommendations forward to the board, one through consensus recommendation, the other through dispute resolution. But I mean, that when I say I don't want to sound flip, really there is a range here, but it depends entirely on how the narrowly phrased task, which I greatly appreciate, by the way, would be interpreted and acted upon during deliberations of policy.
There's another factor here, and that's the data that we have or are about to get from the tribes, specifically the West Side tribes. The Skagit data is, I don't know if it's out, I haven't seen it, so I don't know if it's out or not, but that's something that policy didn't have before when they were talking about this. Jim also said that they'd like to expand it to some other watersheds, and it would take a couple of months. So I would hesitate to send this back through on a procedural type of process policy unless they have you know, the data that we've asked them to do, because I think they're going to have more information on this that's particular to the anatomist board.
Or members of the team.
Did you want to say something? Do you want to go before me?
Member Herrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The concept of the anatomist floor, as I understand, was discussed quite a bit at policy, and there was no agreement reached on it. I'm not sure, because I don't know the details of the dispute resolution, whether that was included in the, specifically in the dispute resolution or not, but I think I want to be, at least my expectation of the work product the tribes have described here, the work in Skagit, for instance, and even if this were to go back through the policy loop, or however it gets to us, I would expect that not to come back as an answer or a number, here's what it needs to be, but rather as an option, maybe ranges that the board then ultimately would, as a matter of as a policy issue, decide what that should or shouldn't be. So I don't want the expectation or want from policy that they should decide that for us. I think that the work we would do would support the validity of the concept and would put together, identify maybe different areas within different watersheds that were analyzed where we thought that was most appropriate to set that, and then ultimately we would decide in our rulemaking process what we think that should be.
So that's helpful clarification, and I think in response to your comment, Board Member Nelson, I think that, I mean, my understanding of what Board Member Herrera just said in prior conversations is that the data analysis they're doing will help illustrate the concept. It's not really going to change the concept, and that we already have in the rule proposals that are being analyzed a range of thresholds, right? So the landowners had 3, and the West Side tribes had 1, and they range, I think, from a low of 5% gradient to a high of 10% gradient. And my preliminary look at the data and understanding from speaking to West Side tribes is that probably not talking about a range outside of that. And so if we already have an analytical process that's starting, or that's underway, that includes that range, then this work group that the West Side tribes have proposed to pull together would just help elucidate what this means. It would help support the concept, and like Board Member Herrera said, it might help us refine ultimately what the board would choose as the threshold. And so that's why it seems like, from a process perspective, getting policies recommendation that allows for the board to include this in our current rulemaking. I mean, we started rulemaking with the assumption that we did not commit a process foul, right?
Correct.
And so we've started all this work, we've invested an enormous amount of money and time into analyzing a set of rule proposals that includes the anatomous floor. And I understand the concern that there may have been a process foul, but can we fix that process foul quickly? And then continue on our path instead of starting a whole new process that would essentially take us into a screaming halt. And it sounds to me like a combination of asking policy to consider this, saying, you know, yes, the anatomous floor is a valid concept, It was discussed in some form, it was not agreed upon. We, you know, if possible, policy could provide a consensus recommendation that, yes, this was discussed, we did not come to agreement, we would like the board to, you know, continue on with its rulemaking or incorporate this into its rulemaking. And then this technical work group that the tribes have proposed putting together could help flesh it out.
Thank you for the clarity. So basically what you're saying is, can we send this over to policy, ask them to quickly take a look at whether or not this can come back to the board in some form, either consensus or a minority vote?
Yeah.
But to do it quickly.
Right. And then it doesn't truncate a stakeholder process because we're still going to do that.
Let me also offer something on your concern about the language of the Eastern Washington data analysis. I agree it's kind of a slanted sub-bullet. Determine if the data analysis is sufficient to rulemaking. That's kind of an odd parameter to me. I would suggest we say determine how this process should be applied in Eastern Washington and then have recommendations come. Kind of presupposing something in the way it's written.
Okay.
A little clarification just to make sure that we know what it is y'all are asking us to do. So the request is for policy to evaluate whether or not we've discussed the concept of a low threshold gradient, a low gradient threshold for with assumed fish presence, and that we just had a discussion, not that there was a formal motion or a formal recommendation. I guess we have to understand, policy's gonna need to understand what the board considers sufficient discussion. So that's one piece. The other thing is, this isn't a topic, this isn't something that gets minority-majority report. You're asking us whether or not our historical record of minutes and a public documentation provided in past meetings has evidence of these conversations, because 50% of the policy committee was not around when these conversations happened. So that process of looking through minutes could very well be an administrative task. There's nothing to debate at that point, because we'd be debating, if, as long as there that stuff, if you tell us what is the threshold for discussion or inclusion or debate that you would like us to evaluate on, we're going to have to look in our historical records just to do that. There's nothing to say. There's no dissent in that. If it's in our records, we discuss it. So I'm just seeking some clarification on what it is you're asking us to do, because it sounds like.
So I'm going to try and paraphrase what board member Sedin has tried to state. I think what you are trying to say, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is ask policy to give us a consensus recommendation that you didn't get consensus on this issue in very simple terms. And that, I think that's what you're basically saying, right? Well, there's probably a few more words that need to be in there.
Right.
I mean, that's what I heard you say.
Yeah. Yes, that's the boil down. May I point out something and then?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Conservation Caucus did a lot of research on, you know, minutes from policy meetings and board meetings, and has pointed out places where, essentially the origins of this concept, right? So there was a proposal when FHAM was being discussed about stream reach is assumed to be fish habitat, which is my interpretation of what the anadromous floor is. It's the area in which you assume you've got fish presence, and above that you start implementing FHAM. And so there was a proposal from Department of Fish and Wildlife submitted on 30th December 2016 that said a stream's greater than 10-foot bank of width with no permanent natural barriers downstream and stream's less than a 12% gradient, citing Trotter 2000 and Lateral 2003 et al. 2003, are likely to be fish habitat if there are no permanent natural barriers downstream. I mean, this and Eastside Tribe proposal look to me like they have essentially the components of what later became labeled the anadromous floor. So, and then there was another spot in the policy minutes, and this was right before the AMPA drafted the minority and minority report, and the note said that there wasn't agreement on the lower point at which you would start implementing FHAM. There was a lack of agreement on that. And so from my perspective, that to me provides enough evidence that this concept was discussed. It may not have gotten properly captured in the minority and minority report in terms of a recommendation going forward, and I think to us it was implied. And so it's really just clarification that this concept was discussed. There wasn't agreement on how to do it. And to essentially fix the fact that how we agree on moving ahead or where you assume fish presence was discussed, not agreed upon, and therefore we have the ability to make rules on it.
Board member, where?
So my recollection was the motion that directed the analysis of three options, actually four, including the do nothing, I think, option. But the three options, as I recall, included this anadromous floor. So in those, I mean, that resolution, I think, passed unanimously. So all of the board members have agreed that we want to do this analysis, but we're not sure we can do that because policy didn't call it out for us to do that. Right. Well, I think policy is made up of representatives of the people on this board. So what we're asking is policy to come back and fix this. We've all been clear, we want to be able to analyze and address this, but if this is a step that needs to go back and get fixed, we're saying fix it, please.
Okay, I want to get comments from the board on any other aspects of this proposed recommendation, and then I think we need to take a break and try and pull it together. So I think we've run this one down.
Staff hopefully. Doesn't sound like they understand what we're trying to run down.
Staff would like to have the break the chair recommends.
Okay.
Thank you. Let me ask this. Are there any comments from the board regarding the last bullet? As far as I know, what board members probably would like to, I mean, is there anything you want staff to continue moving forward? This addresses that to that a certain extent.
Except for the spatial analysis, right? But we talked about that earlier.
Right.
If the subcommittee resolves that.
Yes.
Soon,
correct.
Quickly, then they can continue on with the whole thing.
Yeah. And your recommendation was not to take out the sub bullet up here on moving fewer PHP options. Let's say we could fix that piece up too. Okay. Any other comments from board members on any of the bullets?
Yes, Stephen Hunt, Brent.
Board Member Davies.
I just wanted to mention that I heard what the policy co-chair emphasized about the amount that they have on their plate. And so I really like the idea that has been suggested to narrow the focus of what goes back to policy and try and really make it very clear and not add more than is necessary to their plate.
Thank you. Board Member Herrera.
It's just a question. I guess this is the last sub-bullet, and it's about encouraging moving toward a LIDAR model map-based water typing rule. I thought I had read in the HCP that that's what we're supposed to do.
Yep.
And this language makes it sound like this is like optional, or wouldn't this be nice to do? Doesn't sound like much of a commitment was all. So I might rethink some of the language of that sub-bullet.
That would be helpful. I mean, ideally that's where we want to be, right? But I mean, clearly this is years out because of the cost, and we don't have full LIDAR for the state and so mm-hmm. forth, and we have to finish the pilot. So
can we put different wording in besides as time and resources allow? I think that's the goal.
Okay. Have you got a suggestion?
No, I don't. Between Dave and I might be able to come up with something.
Put a period after rule okay. and scratch the rest.
There we go. Yep.
Okay. No other comments from board members on other bullets? So I'm going to suggest another break. I'm going to work with staff and other board members on language to see if we can perfect this so that we can move it forward. All right?
Mr. Chair, how much time?